Welcome to The Word Unveiled, our continuing series of programs about our faith, produced by St. Malachy Catholic Church in Sterling Heights, Michigan, Archdiocese of Detroit. Our pastor is Father Joseph Gambala. Our technical wizards are Zach Murphy and Ursula Krauss, and my name is Gordon Peck. Our program is Fingerprints of God, Archaeology Confirming Sacred Scripture, and this is part two in a series. But as in all things, let us begin in prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, you gave us your Son to bring your word into our world. Open our hearts so that your will might enter into us and motivate us to share what we learn with a world struggling for meaning. Holy Spirit, guide us in our studies and lead us to a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ, our Lord. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Okay, in every age, there are doubters and scoffers who have denied the existence of God and his holy ways. Certainly, we have plenty of those today. But faith serves those who believe, and archaeology can help. This is the fourth in a series of stories. Abraham's altar at the Oaks of Mamre. I should say, what this picture depicts is Abraham under the oak tree, with three visitors from the Lord, and he's showing them hospitality, and to the right you see his tent, and his wife will be in that tent. Genesis chapter 17, verses 6 through 10. I will make you exceedingly fertile. I will make nations of you. Kings will stem from you. I will maintain my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you throughout the ages, as an everlasting covenant, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. I will give to you and to your descendants after you the land in which you are now residing as aliens, the whole land of Canaan, as a permanent possession, and I will be their God. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oak of Mamre as he sat in the entrance of his tent while the day was growing hot. Looking up, he saw three men standing near him. And when he saw them, he ran from the entrance of the tent to greet them. And bowing down to the ground, he said, Sir, if it please you, do not go past your servant. Let some water be brought, that you may bathe your feet, and then rest under the tree. Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah and said, Quick, three measures of bran flour, knead it and make bread. And he ran to the herd, picked out a tender choice calf, and gave it to a servant, who quickly prepared it. Then he got some curds and milk, as well as the calf that had been prepared, and set these before them, waiting on them under the tree while they ate. Where is your wife Sarah? They asked him. There in the tent, he replied. One of them said, I will return to you about this time next year, and Sarah will then have a son. Sarah was listening at the entrance of the tent, just behind him. Now Abraham, Sarah, Ishmael, and Hagar spend their entire community, which might have been as many as 3,000 people, continued to live a nomadic life near Mamre in the center of the promised land. And while the Lord has reaffirmed his promise to Abraham and Sarah, they still do not have a child, and doubt continues, especially with Sarah, who is now approaching 90 years of age. Now, Mamre, what does Mamre mean? The full name is the Oaks of Mamre, and it refers to an ancient religious site that originally focused on a single holy tree growing since time immemorial at Hebron in Canaan. And while none of the oaks or terebinths of Mamre have survived to modern times, the most likely location is known as Ramat el-Khalil, and it's now surrounded by the city of Hebron. And this is what it looks like today. The Oaks of Mamre is now totally surrounded by high-rise buildings in Hebron, but it has been preserved because it is an archaeological and historical site. Now, Hebron, in Abraham's time, was just a village, and where he camped was not even in the village, but outside the village with his flocks and his people. In 2025, the population within the city limits of Hebron is 201,600, but there are over 700,000 in the metropolitan area surrounding the town. And I should note that it's in the Palestinian authority zone. Well, while shepherds leave little trace of their passing, the site at Mamre is very much different. The archaeological site at Ramat el-Khalil, Oaks of Mamre, was first excavated in modern times by a German, Andreas Evartus Mader, between 1926 and 1928, and he produced these maps or plans that you see on the screen. And then it was excavated by a Palestinian in 1977, another in 1984 to 1985, and then a Hebrew archaeologist also worked there in 1986 to 1988. Now, the oldest part of the site includes the altar of Abraham and two holes in the bedrock created by giant oak trees. So in the center, we see the remains of an altar and then the two oak trees, and they would have looked pretty much like this photograph here. The altar, again, in the center is shown in the drawing, and we're going to get an idea from the rendering of what it probably looked like, just some rocks piled up to make a square platform that Abraham could use to make sacrifices on. Well, jump forward to the time of King David, 950 BC from 1800 BC, and there's a wall of enclosure and a gateway constructed around the altar. So it was revered as a site and it was preserved. Its location was preserved by these actions. There's also a spring of water in the right-hand corner. And King David ruled for 7 years from this city of Hebron, which was just two miles away from this site at the time, before he became the king of both the north and the south kingdom and then ultimately moved his capital city to Jerusalem. Now, in the time of Herod the Great, around 3 BC, Herod was a great builder, and he wanted to ingratiate himself to the Jewish people. He was not a Jew himself, but an Edomite. And so he did a lot of building projects to try to get on their good side. And so he put a new wall all around the site, and he restored the altar, and he relocated the entrance. But after his passing, pagan worshipers came back into the area, and they dug a ditch, which you can see in the central photograph here, which was designed to drain away blood from sacrifices which defiled the altar. And these sacrifices may well have been infant sacrifices. This is an aerial photo of the construction wall created by Herod the Great. You can see it's more precise than anything that had been built before that time, better craftsmanship. And then jump ahead 300 more years, and we come to the time of Emperor Constantine, when Christianity is no longer outlawed, and he became the emperor after the Battle of Malvern Bridge. So in 313, the Edict of Milan ended persecution of anyone for their religious belief. Well, his mother-in-law, not his mother, Helena, but this case, it was his mother-in-law, Eutropia, who also became a very good Christian, told Constantine about the desecration of the site at Mamre, and he gave her full authority to remove all pagan images. So at that time, a church was built on the site, and that's what you see in the blue area in the plan. And this is what that church looked like. It was a Byzantine-style church. It's one of only four that Constantine built in the Holy Land. Abraham's altar was enhanced and enlarged, and it was right out front of the church. And this is the apse of Constantine's church, which would be the altar area within the church. That's now in ruins, and we just see the walls and foundations around it. Now, when Islamic forces invaded the region in the early 600s, multiple structures were erected on the site, and the prophecy that all nations would find blessing through Abraham was slowly being achieved. And ultimately, the city of Hebron expanded, but reverence for this sacred site preserved the ruins and treasures to be found there. So because there was so much interest in it over the years, it was preserved. And so that's why we know what happened at this site. And as I mentioned earlier, it's currently protected by the Palestinian Authority. So you'd have to make special arrangements if you wanted to visit that site today. Okay, go to story five now. Sodom, Gomorrah, and the city of the plains. Now, the Lord has decided that he's going to inform Abraham about what he is going to do in Sodom. Abraham's nephew Lot had separated from Abraham. The shepherds had quarreled about what grounds they were going to take their flocks to. And Lot eventually becomes a city dweller, and he goes into the city of Sodom to live. He marries a woman, and she may very well have been a citizen of Sodom. So this is what it tells us in Genesis chapter 18. So the Lord said, the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great, and their sin is so grave, that I must go down to see whether or not their actions are as bad as the cry against them that comes to me. I mean to find out. So Abraham fears for any righteous in the city of Sodom, and he's most likely thinking about Lot and his family. So Abraham begins to ask the Lord if he will spare the city for the sake of 50 persons. And then he says, how about for 40? How about for 30? So Abraham's pretty gutsy guy that he starts bargaining with the Lord, like he can force the Lord into a position. And finally he gets him down to 10, and the Lord agrees that he'll spare the city for the sake of 10 people. Now, there's a unique passage in Scripture in which the Lord has a frank discussion with a man, Abraham. And the Lord reveals his plan to Abraham, and he says, shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do now that he is to become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth are to find blessing in him? And the Lord says the outcry against Sodom is so great, their sins are so grave, so the Lord tells Abraham he will go and see if their sins are as great as they seem, and he shall look into their hearts. So Abraham knows what's going to happen. So the two angels reach Sodom in the evening as Lot, his nephew Lot, is sitting at the gate of Sodom. And when Lot saw them, he got up to greet them, and bowing down with his face to the ground, he said, please, my lords, come aside into your servant's house for the night and bathe your feet. You can get up early to continue your journey. But they replied, no, we'll pass the night in the town square. I find this interesting that Abraham showed hospitality to the three angels, or the Lord, at Mamre. Now Lot shows great hospitality. When I was working as an architect and I was designing hospitals, I spent quite a bit of time in the Middle East. I was in Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, and especially in Jordan. Hospitality was a really important thing. You always had to have tea, coffee, food, even if you're only going to talk for 5 minutes. It was a very big deal to show hospitality. So I see Abraham and Lot showing hospitality, continuing that tradition, but we don't see that from the people of Sodom. So anyways, the angels say, no, we will pass the night in the town square. And Lot urges them so strongly, however, that they turned aside to his place and entered his house, and he prepared a banquet for them, baking unleavened bread, and they dined. Before they went to bed, the townsmen of Sodom, both young and old, and all the people to the last man surrounded the house. They called to Lot and said to him, where are the men who came into your house tonight? Bring them out to us that we may have sexual relations with them. Lot went out to meet them at the entrance. And when he shut the door behind him, he said, I beg you, my brothers, do not do this wicked thing. I have two daughters who have never had sexual relations with men. Let me bring them out to you, and you may do to them as you please. But do not do anything to these men, for they have come under the shelter of my roof. Interesting. So the men of Sodom told Lot that they would do the same thing to him if he did not bring out his visitors. And now the angels told Lot to bring all his family with them, and they would lead them safely out of the city because the Lord was going to destroy it. So now they show what strength they have, and this crowd of people can do nothing. They walk right through them. But Lot's son-in-laws thought he was joking and would not go with them. He had two other daughters who had married other men, and they sent word to them, but they would not come. And finally, the angels seized Lot and his wife and the two daughters by their hands, and they led them out of the city, telling them that no matter what happened, they should not look back. We too are told to move forward with the Lord and to leave any evil that may have been part of our lives behind. Do not look back. The angels tell Lot to take his family and flee to the mountains, but Lot asks if he can go to the nearby town of Zoar. His wish is granted, and Zoar is spared. But Lot's wife, we don't know her name, she looks back, and she's changed into a pillar of salt. Was she a resident of Sodom? Was she mourning her two other daughters who had stayed behind with their husbands? Well, Lot is not content and stay in the city of Zoar, and Lot and his daughters go into a cave in the mountains east of Zoar. And there his daughters have compassion for the death of their mother and the fact that Lot will have no descendants. They conspire to get him drunk, and then each lie with him. Two sons are born out of incest, Moab and Ammon. Now this is the land, this is a map of the land in the time of Lot. We see Mamre over to the left, where Abraham built the altar. And then we see the Dead Sea and the plain beyond it. And now we see five cities. We see Sodom, Gomorrah, Zoar, Adma, and Zeboiim. And of these five, only Zoar is preserved because Lot asked if he could go there. And so that city was preserved. But the other four will all be destroyed. This is what it looks like in that region now. If you dig in the ground near these sites, there's a layer of black ash just below the surface. You can just take your hand and scoop the sand away until you get to the black ash. And then there are also sulfur balls that lay embedded in the walls and ruins of the four ancient sites. If you look at sulfur, there are white sulfurs found at Gomorrah, and then naturally occurring sulfur is from a geothermal region, but this white sulfur, it's very unique, and it's very highly flammable, as you can see in this photograph here. The sulfur balls burn white hot with great intensity. Now, not far from this location, in Jordan, just over the ridge of the mountains to the east, there's a city called Madaba, and there is in the Byzantine church there, the Church of St. George in Madaba. There is it's a newer church built over the ruins of an older church, and the older church part of the floor remains, and it's a mosaic map. And if you look at that map on the floor, you'll see certain things. And one of them is that it will locate Lot's cave. And Lot's cave is shown as being at 1,329 feet below sea level on the shores of the Dead Sea. And it's a cave, and that's the cave that Lot and his daughters went to live in. And this is what it says in Genesis 19. Since Lot was afraid to stay in Zoar, he and his two daughters went up from Zoar and settled in the hill country, where he lived with his two daughters in a cave. The firstborn said to the younger, "Our father is getting old, and there's not a man in the land to have intercourse with us, as is the custom everywhere. Come, let us ply our father with wine and then lie with him, that we may ensure posterity by our father." So that night they plied their father with wine, and the firstborn went in and lay with her father, but he was not aware of her lying down or getting up. The next day the firstborn said to the younger, "Last night I lay with my father. Let us ply him with wine again tonight, and then you go in and lie with him, that we may ensure posterity by our father." So that night too they plied their father with wine, and then the younger one went in and lay with him, but he was not aware of her lying down or getting up. Thus the two daughters of Lot became pregnant by their father. The firstborn gave birth to a son, whom she named Moab, saying, "From my father. He is the ancestor of the Moabites today." The younger one too gave birth to a son, and she named him Ammon, saying, "The son of my kin. He is the ancestor of the Ammonites today." And here we see where those kingdoms are located. We see the city of Zoar in the red circle in the map. South of that is the kingdom of Edom. Edom is where Esau, the brother of Jacob, would become the king. Moab is right off of the shores of the Dead Sea, immediately east of that, and Ammon's just north of that. So that's the story of Lot and his daughters. Let us end in prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks for listening. Peace be with you.